From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 12th, 2010. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This past week we learned that OpenStreetMap founder and CloudMade co-founder Steve Coast has stepped down from his position at CloudMade. From the About page at CloudMade, CloudMade was founded by Steve Coast and Nick Black in 2007 to provide professional services around open map data. Steve founded OpenStreetMap in 2004 after becoming frustrated by the lack of freely available maps in the UK. So it's clear that Steve Coast has been a key player in geospatial for several years. Now, what happens when a visionary leader like this changes roles or steps away from an organization with which he or she has been so tightly associated? We'll ponder that question after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Erdos, the Earth-to-Business company. Get ready to leverage your available hardware with multi-core distributed processing and Erdos Imagine and LPS and clustering in Erdos Apollo. Customize and localize software interfaces, exploit base imagery and geocoding in Bing Maps, and easily link to Google Earth. Utilize new image analysis workflows specifically designed for defense and intelligence users. Erdos 2011 software release is coming soon. Visit www.erdos.com for more information on this exciting release.
Now, while Steve Coase is probably not a household name in many areas, he's perhaps as widely known within geospatial circles as is Jack Dangerman. And in fact, when we did a totally non-scientific poll 2009, Coast was right at the top of it. So what we want to do to explore this type of change when a leader steps down and then, or when a leader changes a role even within the broader geospatial community, we want to take a look back at some history. And Joe and I actually have some history and some stories to tell about when these kinds of situations have occurred and what followed. So Joe, let's start with you.
My example is when I worked for Intergraph Corporation, the original founder, Jim Medlock, was still very much a part of the organization, and he eventually decided to step away from the company. I don't remember the exact date, sometime in the mid-90s, and replaced by a kind of a series of leaders that tried to take the company in a new direction. Just for some context, this was an era where the company was transitioning out of the Unix world into the Windows world and also departing the hardware business. Now, Jim was very much loved the hardware business back again in the day in the 80s. Intergraph and many other companies supplied both the hardware and the software with the complete solution. But it was also an era where personal computers were just skyrocketing, and it was hard to maintain that kind of a business. So this was a time of some turmoil within the company, and Jim essentially decided to let the reins go to other people. It also coincided with some problems related to a relationship with Bentley Systems. When you let go of the reins at a certain time, that this particular time really threw the company into some turmoil. The company was still public. The stock was going down. The company saw lots of losses, lots of terminations, and it was a rather difficult time. And not until, I guess, the 2000s when Halsey Wise took the reins over that the company really started to refocus its efforts. But certainly when you have the departure of the guy who started the company, who led the company for such a long time, some of the culture leaves the company and takes off into a different direction. But again, it's like unhooking the engine from the cars of a train. But there's a big jolt. And the jolt isn't necessarily a good one. That's kind of my experience with Intergraph.
Now, do you think it was a good time for that transition because there were sort of all these things that were, in a sense, up in the air, moving out of hardware, figuring out the new relationship with Bentley? Was that a good time to make that break, or would that have been a better time for the person to maybe stay on and then pass the reins when things had calmed down?
Well, there were a few things left up in the air, and that relationship with Bentley led to a great deal of hardship. Some of the employees went with Bentley rather than staying with the company. That relationship just never was fully, consummated is the right, I don't know if that's the right word, but there were problems with the the ownership between the two companies that just led to a great deal of turmoil. Should he have stayed? I don't know. That's a kind of a historical question, hard to answer at this point.
Okay, well, I had a very different experience, and I'd only been with CADCorp for a year, and CADCorp was founded by a business person and a technology person, and it had become very successful for a small company in the UK, and I had been hired to open up the US office and start expanding things. And after a year, I learned that the lead technical person was going to be moving on to the next thing, and I tried to figure out whether what was going to happen, because he'd been such a strong leader, was clearly very, very bright, and I didn't know what to do. So I went to the smartest person I knew in the business world, who was one of my friend's parents, and I explained the situation, and he basically said, if you don't think somebody else can fill those shoes, then you need to think about your future. And I thought pretty hard about it, and I decided that because of that and for some other reasons, maybe this was time for me to go too. And I have to say, quite honestly, I got it wrong. I got it so wrong. Because what happened was, after this fellow left, the number two person stepped up and went on to fill the shoes in a huge way, which was reinforced to me a few years later when he won the Gardels Award from the OGC. And if you look at the people who've won that, they're like the best and brightest. So clearly there was somebody to take on that role, and I couldn't imagine that that person existed, let alone was already within the company. And things have moved on, you know, so far as I can tell, just fine. It was not that huge, gigantic explosion that I had expected. I think one of the challenges, and it would be interesting to look at this in the context of what happened at Intergraph, is how this whole change is communicated and described and discussed, not only with the people on the inside, but with the people on the outside.
That's a really good point, yeah. Go ahead.
And that's maybe a good time to move to another famous person who stepped down, Bill Gates. And if you remember, the announcement about his stepping down was made 2 years before he was going to change his role within the organization and move to focusing more on the foundation. That in and of itself, I think, was such a great decision on Microsoft's part, because everybody could do all the speculating, do all the, you know, all those things that the world needs to do to get used to this new idea. And in fact, at the time, I found one of the analysts, Paul DeGroot, an analyst for Directions, not related to us, an independent technology consultancy, said that Microsoft was, quote, basically replacing one man with a collection of primarily technical people, engineers, and product groups. This may be no bad thing. Microsoft has tried to catch up with the rest of the music player market, and the latest version of its Windows Vista operating system is widely seen as a disappointment, unquote. So basically saying the timing was right, they had a plan to take his role and split it up, and we all had time to get used to it. And frankly, the day that that switch happened, there were lots of little news releases saying that it happened, but to hopefully the people in the larger world, there seemed to be no impact. Internally, I suspect it didn't feel very different either.
It was essentially Gates left, but he didn't leave, right? He stepped into a chief technology role, a role that he kind of relished, and there was this stepwise progression of him departing from the company. There wasn't this complete unhooking and a jolt sent through the organization. He was there, but not there.
Right, so, and clearly this had been planned and thought through, and I assume within the organization people had been prepared for it even before the announcement was made to the wider world.
Now, not so was the case with Steve Jobs, if you want to look at an analogy. He had a rather contentious dispute with the board of Apple. He left, I would say, somewhat disgruntled, I guess, and it just didn't lead to a very happy departure on his part, and essentially really sent the company into disarray.
And then yet came back.
but only when he came back, right?
Right.
Apple eventually bought Next, which is the company he went on to found, and later came back on, and almost, I think he was almost begged to come back on and take over the reins again, and then they live happily ever after.
Now, how was the communications handled? And this is interesting to point out that Microsoft and Apple and Intergraph were all public at the time, so they had to make some of these statements by law.
Right, right. And you know, that's an interesting thing, because you don't want to upset the shareholders too much, and yet from the outside, it looks like a disarray. From the inside, it was rather tenuous times, at least for us at Intergraph. Every 6 months thereafter, there was a new reorganization of the company. You could literally set your watch by it. And things were very unsettled for such a long time.
Well, what I want to do to wrap up now is to pull out some lessons learned or some insights from, and we've looked at sort of four different cases, very different ones. CADCorp is a private company, so the rules were very different. And I guess the first point I would make really has to go to this communication topic. It really makes a difference how the news is communicated internally to the user community and then to the broader world. I think the more people who can get on the same page about what is being communicated and how, the easier that transition is going to be. Fair to say?
Absolutely. And again, just from my experience at Intergraph, I didn't particularly find us a great communicator. But Medlock was a very good communicator, almost to a fault, people would say, because he was very candid about communicating with users. Again, quite famously during our user groups, you know, he would essentially say, hey, we blew it. And he was very open and honest, and people love that. It was not that way after his departure.
Right. So what are you taking away from thinking about these big changes at the top?
You know, I think you really have to use Microsoft as a case study. That was a great way, if possible, right? You would want to follow it such that the departure of the great man was eased, or woman, was eased, right, to the point where you didn't have this large disruption, and you were able to make the transition over a period of time. Again, Microsoft maybe not being a great analogy, because it was such a huge company at the time and commanded such a large, what do you want to say, the percentage of the computing community. It was ruling the community at the time. And here Gates is stepping away, and yet he didn't leave, as I said. You know, it wasn't as if they were leaving everybody in the lurch. The operating systems weren't going to go away, but it certainly gave people pause. And yet, maybe to the outside, it didn't look like a big deal. I don't think the stock price probably adjusted violently. So it was, again, one of those things where take it away as one of those case studies that is maybe the way to play it.
Right, and certainly from what Microsoft's done since, and sort of rejuvenated itself in many areas. I think some people would say that this was maybe one of the best things that could have happened.
Right.
The other point that I'll make, and this has to go, and I think you started talking about sort of culture, you know, within an organization in particular. And one of the things that I think is really true is if there is that great man or woman and they've done their job, they have exuded within the organization a culture that is going to continue there whether they're there or not. And that's maybe one of the strongest legacies that they can leave. And I'm seeing evidence of this in other organizations that I'm a part of now. And it's a truly remarkable thing when it happens. And I think it's actually pretty hard to do.
Yeah, and certainly we see that in the largest GIS company we follow in Esri. Jack Dangerman has such a presence in the community as well as his company, obviously, and has created a culture that many people thrive off of, and certainly his user community thrives off of.
Now, so then, of course, the big question across our community is, what is ESRI going to look like after whatever transition happens? Is ESRI imbued with that culture that's going to continue no matter sort of who's at the helm?
Yeah, and that, of course, is the $64,000 question. We don't know, and of course, there's been all sorts of speculation. And maybe too early to speculate. Jack doesn't look like he's slowing down one bit. And yet that culture is certainly based on his personality in many ways, and certainly some of the people at the top. But so it would be a big question when he departs whether that culture remains.
Well, that's all the time we have.
This podcast was brought to you by Erdos, the Earth to Business company. Backed by more than 30 years of experience working with geospatial data and expert users like you, Erdos allows you to harness the information of the changing Earth for greater advantage. Find out more about Erdos and the Erdos 2011 software release at www.erdos.com.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.